deceptive, manipulative tyrant who has no moral conscience and who will not stop at anything with regard to cruelty and violence to maintain his power and control. On the other hand, you have these well-intentioned but completely misunderstanding astrologers who are played for fools. And then, right, the rest of the story, which we don't have, but we need to kind of bring into it here, we have then a family who is going to flee from violence and seek refuge in a foreign country. And finally, there will be the slaughter of innocent children. Probably more a reality of what Christmas is like today than the kind of cute story we heard from Luke 2. Because all we have to do is say names and places like Syria, Yemen, South Sudan, Honduras, El Salvador, and we precisely have this kind of situation. Tyrants ruling, well-intentioned people are fooled and duped, families fleeing and seeking refuge from violence, and of course, thousands of innocent children suffering and dying from poverty, disease, and even war and violence. So now, what's going on here? And for first of all, why is there this threat? Matthew's explanation of that is not going to give us some kind of geopolitical realpolitik about what's going on. He's not even going to give us a history lesson, but Matthew gives us a theological answer. And his answer to what provokes this kind of activity, whether it's back then in the days of Herod, or whether it's in our contemporary situation, is his claim that they are threatened finally and ultimately by God's grace and mercy. Now, how can that be? To be threatened by God's grace and mercy. Well, you see, when that comes to all of that, the threat is there because it is the recognition that God is in control and not these folks. Herod, Caesar, Vladimir Putin, Bashar al-Assad, Mohammed bin Salman, Donald Trump, even Justin Trudeau and Scott Moe are not the ones who will determine how the world will run. And even we ourselves, right here, will not be the ones who finally and ultimately determine the way in which our lives will run. But it will be done by God's grace and mercy. And that's precisely what Herod and all of the others who are opposed to God's way simply reject and fight against. And we bear the consequences of it. Whatever plans or hopes we have for 2019, indeed, is that the way it's going to turn out? as we will reflect on December 31st, 2019. Did the year pass the way we planned it to on January 6th, 2019? Or did it turn out far differently than we expected? Because you see, we are not simply in control of what happens. That's the understanding that Matthew gives us, and the assurance that he brings with it is that it is God who is in control, and God is present and there for us. And that God will work through people like the wise men, like Joseph, and who knows who else, to bring about God's grace and mercy for us. And so we are called to that kind of recognition. And as we are called to that way of life, we ask ourselves, so what exactly is it that we are going to be doing? And if you will, we're going to get a little subversive here. The life of a disciple of Christ is a life of resistance. Resistance to all of those who indeed think they are in control and in charge and can go about executing their ways, which are not the ways of either mercy or grace. How do we live those ways of resistance? The first way, and not an obvious way, is one of worship. Worship is an act of resistance. We see that in terms of the Magi themselves. Magi, wise men, if you will, very interesting characters because they're kind of two professions put into one. They are astronomers and astrologers. They're scientists and con men. They're astronomers or scientists because indeed, like astronomers today, they look at the stars and at the planets and chart their motions and what are the laws of physics by which all of those various things in the universe work and move. That's fine. But then they're also astrologers. And what astrology is going to claim is that the movement of the stars and the planets has meaning and has direct effect in your life. In fact, your life is controlled by the movement of the planets and the stars. It is a deterministic point of view. Yes, your fate lies in the stars. And lucky for you, it's an astrologer who can tell you your fate, who can tell you your future. All that vanishes when the wise men come to worship the Christ child. Because with that comes the recognition that our lives are not determined by the movement of the planets. What your sign is doesn't make any difference because your fate is not in the stars. Your fate, your life, is in God's hands. Your life is not determined by some kind of movement within the cosmos or even by the chief actors in history. Your life is in God's hands. And it is God's grace and it is God's mercy that is what controls and is the life force for your life. And indeed, that's what worship is all about. As we gather for worship, we resist all those other claims by all others that our fate or our life lies in their hands. Worship says no, it is in God's hands in which our lives lie. And in worship, we orient ourselves toward God's grace and God's mercy. That's why we continue to remember our baptism, why we celebrate the Lord's Supper, to recognize indeed it is the love of God shown to us through Christ that makes us who we are and truly gives us life. The second act of resistance is the recognition that there is an alternative way than the way the world wants to give us. Matthew signals that in terms of when the Magi found out what Herod was really up to, they went home by another way. And indeed, the Gospels of themselves are precisely proclamations of an other way. Before the followers of Jesus were ever called Christians, they were just simply called followers of the way. And that sense of the way is different from the ways of the world, the ways of Herod or Caesar or the governments of Canada or the United States or whatever. Not that they're always wrong or evil, but their ways are not the ways of grace and mercy. Because God's way, the gospel way, enables us to resist fear and to resist deception and to resist violence. The way in which people often try to get control or power over us is by raising fears about the future, raising fears about the unknown, raising fears about the other, playing on our imagination to think about the worst that can happen to us, and to be afraid of life itself. The good news of the gospel says we can resist that fear because God is with us, and our life is in God's hands. We can also resist deception. There's nothing like the term fake news that's going around all the time. But for us as people of God, we have an alternative. Instead of fake news, we talk about good news, the gospel. Because the alternative to deception is the truth, is the disclosure of what God is doing with us and for us because of Christ. And so we can be attentive and alert and not fooled by whatever deceptive practices or words may come our way, because we have the good news and know what that means for us. And finally, we can resist violence. The temptation is always to use force, to try to get even, to try to get ahead, to try to be in control, to try to dominate or subjugate or make sure that we can have our way for our own self-interest. But the alternative way, God's way, is to say that we try to treat ourselves and others, especially the others that we find the most difficult, and indeed all of creation, with the sense of love. The challenge for us as the Christian way is to say, what is the way in which we love those who are here, those who are other, those who are different, those who are even opposed to us? And one of our contemporary challenges is even, how do we show our love and care for creation rather than simply exploiting it, polluting it, harming it? That too is a way in which we resist violence. And so the story of the coming of the wise men to the Christ child is in many respects a tragedy because of the violence that is there. But on the other hand, it is good news, because in recounting that story, we are again reminded of how God's grace and mercy is the operative force in the world, is the operative force in our lives. And that provides us with an alternative way in terms of living in this world without fear, without succumbing to deception, and without acting in force and violence toward others. That is Christ's epiphany. God showing us the true way of life and salvation and peace.